Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I assume this was kind of related to the other business for tomorrow. But I'll throw it out there now since you're looking to, I wouldn't say a time killer, but so get something on the table here. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. So it came up yesterday in the reports, the GARFO reports was talking about the potential implementation delay of the EVCHR reporting requirement, mandatory reporting requirements. There was some voices concerned about, at least from the industry side, is that we don't believe the agency is ready yet for this for multiple reasons. GARFO also had one of their own main reasons. So I'm prepared to put on the table now a motion to recommend to GARFO that they delay the implementation of EVTR, mandatory EVTR reporting, by 1 year.
Okay, if you got the motion there, we'll okay. Is there a second? Mr. Alexander seconds it.
Okay, so basically, I wasn't prepared for this actually today, but I'll have a better rationale in a little bit for you. You know, while we understand that the primary reason that GARFO requested the delay, the feedback on delaying the implementation was the ability to not be able to offer the one-stop shopping reporting for a small segment of the fishery, I believe this is just one of many reasons that we should be recommending a delay on implementation of this program. You know, we're only 5 months away from this deadline, and there has yet to be any publicly available implementation schedule. You know, obviously we believe there's going to be workshops and webinars scheduled, but we haven't seen any of that yet. And the industry really believes to get a proper understanding of what needs to be done at EVCHR, these need to be mostly done in very small one-on-one or a couple members per setting. I believe what the agency put up is that there's roughly 1,200 permits that need to get online. But to tell you, that's talking about permits. That's under the old dynamic. You know, I believe under this new implementation of EVTR, we're actually making this more based on the operator, because some of these are cell phone based and the boat's not going to stay with the phone, it's the operator. So 1200 to go is probably a very minimum estimate of how many numbers we need to get to up to EVGR. So I'll just leave it at that. I kind of was a little rambling there, but like I said, I'll give you a probably more coherent rationale and by the end of today if this goes through.
Okay, no, that was pretty rational and coherent. Attorney Etri.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I fully support this. I think Dan's rationale was quite coherent. And I know I wasn't thinking about doing other business right now. So, you know, bravo for pulling it together the way that he did. You know, Dan's points were spot on. This isn't just about the permits. It's about the operators. There's the huge education. Stan yesterday, the RA acknowledged that they, you know, they had a relatively smooth transition when they transitioned the four hire fleet, but that transition didn't occur in a pandemic when we're still struggling with a, you know, good portion of the federal government doing work from home, a good portion of folks like myself and sector managers and folks in, you know, scallop fisheries and herring fisheries and whatnot, trying their best to continue to do remote working. So a lot of this one-on-one dynamic that I think is going to be essential, or the small group dynamic that's essential for, you know, as painless as possible a transition. I think it's highly ambitious to be trying to do that in the next 5 months, especially considering that, you know, when you look at the Mid-Atlantic website, we're not currently seeing any, unless I'm looking at the wrong site, currently seeing any scheduled workshops and webinars. And I realize with the port agents, they're going to take along, I would imagine, a bulk of the lift that this takes to get done. And as I understand it, at least in specific ports, they're already being inundated with a transition to fish online. So that could be a good way to kind of provide some real time examples of what type of transition impacts this is going to have. So it's not meant to indicate that we're not supportive of EVTR. I'm highly supportive of EVTR, but I think the implementation needs to be thoughtful, strategic, and it needs to take into consideration that to make this as painless as possible, we need to have, you know, a thoroughly transparent implementation schedule and timeline with webinars and workshops and port visits and a lot of one-on-one work that I don't know how you do in 5 months. And I think doing it within the dynamic of the pandemic would be equally challenging. So I support this.
Hey, thank you very much. What I'm going to do, the several council members that want to be heard, but I'm going to go out to the audience first and then back to the council. So out to the audience on the pending motion. Seeing none, we'll come back to the council. We'll have Megan Ware, Dr. McKenzie, then Vincent Balzano. Ms. Ware.
Thank you. I think I'm looking for a little more information to be able to make an informed decision on this motion. So a question for the regional administrator would be if you or someone on your staff could maybe describe the rollout that is planned over the next 5 months, noting that I think there was a year implementation timeframe built in here. So I'm just trying to get a better sense of what's planned over the next 5 months, hearing some of the concerns from other council members.
Mr. Pentney, if you or one of your staff members would like to address that, that'd be great.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I just don't think I have the staff sitting, you know, listening in right now prepared to provide a detailed overview of the rollout for the next 5 months or the process for the next 5 months. This particular issue wasn't on the agenda. It was an update that I gave yesterday with a specific question related to the one-stop reporting. So I don't have any specifics that I can share with you today.
So let me ask you this, and this was in my hurry to take some stuff up. If we tabled this and brought it back up tomorrow during other business, would that be helpful, or that wouldn't be? I don't want to rush things if it's only because staff's not available.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's your prerogative, Mr. Chairman, and the will of the council. But let me just provide a little bit of context. All throughout the development of the framework adjustment with both councils, we said we would set an implementation date of 1 year out from publication of the final rule, which we did. So people have had, at this point, 7 months notice that this was going to be required in November. This is an action of both councils. The Mid-Atlantic Council took up, the specific question that I asked yesterday. They took it up at their meeting 2 weeks ago. And we heard from basically everybody that wanted to comment that we should not delay the implementation in November. So in terms of a joint action between both councils, the Mid-Atlantic Council has indicated their desire for no delay in implementation. I received a letter from a number of sector managers, including Mr. Salerno, last week, raising a specific issue related to noncompliance and a 5 versus a 20% kind of buffer around noncompliance. We have staff exploring the issue that they raised in their letter. I think there's some room that we can work with the sector managers to look at that issue and come up with a solution that that works for everybody. So we're looking at that specific issue. But in terms of just a general 1 year delay in the implementation, not related to the question that I raised yesterday with one stop reporting, I just can't see that this is something that we would really entertain. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Next up, Dr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank Mike for clarifying the services position on this. I'm going to vote against this. We have heard on a regular basis the need for better data, more data, faster turnaround on the data. And I think this is a step in that direction. The fact that we have so many of our fleet still using paper EVTRs, that has to change. But folks have known about this for a while, as Mike said. And if anything, the pandemic has shown how many sectors of this of these industries are remarkably adaptive and have rolled with the punches that the pandemic has delivered. Now, I know that there's a wide variety within the people working in the fisheries in New England, and that some folks need a little more lead time than others. I totally accept that. But I think, you know, basically a 19-month heads up is more than enough. So I'll be voting against this.
Thank you very much. Mr. Balzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I apologize. I had to step out during reports yesterday for a few hours and I missed this part. I'm going to support this motion, not because I'm not in favor of EVTR. I use it. But Mr. Petney and Dr. Hare, I hope you're listening to me right now, because I have to tell you, and I'm going to try to be as kind as possible, but you just have to stop making it so hard to use this stuff. Like with EVTR, I guarantee you most people don't even realize that they can't even get on right now, because they went and changed everything. They changed all our passwords. They changed how to get in. And I couldn't even get in to mine because there was no outreach. And then when I went back to use it, I got to go backwards a little bit, because I had to stop using it, because when I went to EM, I had to go to Flounders because you couldn't report individual fish number discards. So finally, when they decided that we could use fish online instead of Flounders for EM, I went back to EM, fish online. I couldn't get on. And then the whole app had changed. I was lost on how to use it. And I was so frustrated when I was scalloping. The computer, the iPad, and everything almost went out the window of my wheelhouse. Because really, at the end of the day, especially a long day, all you want to do is comply. But when you press a button and it doesn't work, or you go to submit and it says that something's wrong and it's not wrong, it's so frustrating. And really, you just got to get together when you implement these things, because it's too hard to use right now. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them for you. I almost sent a terrible email to both of you last April when I started again, but I just decided against it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Ms. Patterson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan, I just have a clarifying question on this. Are you indicating that the reporting requirements be delayed from November 10th or from today's vote? Because we have been hearing that EVTR has been ready to go and coming down the pike, and I understand that there's lots of frustrations with electronic reporting. However, I'm just confused as to why we would be looking at it from a year from November 10th when I think things can get moving faster and training can occur well ahead of November 10th of 2022.
Thank you, Sheree. That's actually a very interesting question. I think the reason why I said by 1 year, because that was kind of the thought around in the reports section yesterday, by implementation by 1 year. If people are okay with the 6 month delay, I'm just concerned that the industry, the 100% of the industry, well, the 99% of the industry that needs to convert over to EVTR is not going to be ready to do this by the November 10th or whatever, the November deadline. If it's a 6 month delay, I'd be okay with a 6 month delay if that would make people feel a little better. And I just to let you know, I did send the rationale, and really part of the rationale was I'm not interested in stopping all efforts. I'm just interested in delaying the actual deadline implementation date. to be clear on that as well. So I hope hopefully that helps you, Cherie, that somewhat.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Yes, Dan, that adds some clarity. And if it helps to delay for 6 months, as long as there are some opportunities for the industry to start learning how to operate this, knowing that the reporting requirements will be directed within 6 months after November 10th, then I'm fine with this. But I just don't think we need to be delaying it much longer. Thanks.
So, Mr. Salerno, Mr. Alexander, would you entertain a friendly amendment to add language saying it's 6 months delay from the November 10th proposed or current proposed implementation?
As the maker, yes, Mr. Chairman, I would agree to the 6 month amendment to the motion.
Mr. Alexander?
Yeah, yep, okay. I'm good.
All right. I can't. All right, so I'm going to go out to the audience. I'm not sure. Ms. Etri and Ms. Ware's hands are up. I don't know if those are left over from when they spoke last time or they're new, but I'm going to go out to the audience first. I'm going to call on Mr. Fletcher and then Ms. Brady. Mr. Fletcher.
At the last council meeting of the Mid-Atlantic, my concern is that we are already getting data from the commercial fishing industry. And the Mangosin Act 2006, 109-479, required that every recreational fisherman report. Now, we're not getting any direct information from the recreational fishermen. We're still getting paper. We're getting information from the commercial fishing industry. And I would ask you to amend this for 1 year or more on it. Mr. Pitney said that they couldn't get it in, but the Mid-Atlantic Council went ahead and said, well, we need data. You're getting the data. It's just the time. But you have one sector of this fishery that you are getting no data from. You are getting estimates. Now, I would ask you to please, please change this to 1 year or more and come back with a recommendation that you put in electronic reporting on recreational fishermen and comply with the Mangosin Act of 2006, 109-479. Thank you for your time. I did not intend to comment on this, on anything this meeting, but this one has me as extremely frustrated as anything, because I have found out that I can be blocked when I want to make a comment. You can recognize me and I can be blocked. I don't know who's doing the blocking, but that happened to me at the Mid-Atlantic Council, and that's my concern. But the United National Fishermen begs you with tears in my eyes to put this off for a year or more. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And just there's no blocking of your comments here, Mr. Fletcher, rest assured. So, Ms. Brady.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry for the metronome sounding. I'm pulled over on the side of the road because I'm about to hit a dead zone. Bonnie Brady, Long Island Commercial Fishing Association. We support this motion completely. There has been, I mean, frankly, during COVID, there should be tactical teams, two people, one person, one-on-one, going to every commercial guy on the dock. I have personally dealt with flounders. My husband is dyslexic. There is no discussion here about the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I hate to break it to some people, but there are many fishermen that have learning disabilities that are barely getting by as it is with all of the requirements of NIMS right now. And to do this, it's one thing, you know, if you started now and as people get certified, then they go on board and you have a slow roll, but you should be possibly grandfathering in some people. I was not at the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting because I actually went on my first vacation with my husband in 25 years without our kids. I have been arguing this point since this entire thing came into being. There's no beta testing. There was no industry input as to how it's done. I know recently I tried the fish online for our other boat, and it was extremely difficult. You know, I speak three languages and I have difficulty with that. I used to be a reporter and I'm not bad with a computer and I have difficulty with it. And I just think it's completely wrong for the agency to jam this down these guys' throats without having the time to slow roll, take the time to go to each port on each of the states and work through it. Now, maybe some of the younger guys will have not as much problems. But I know from working for Flounders for, I think, the last 8 years, I am the queen of finding the bug that they'd never seen before. And I just don't think it's right. So any delay is great. They should start testing now. They should be coming in groups to meet with guys with iPads and walk them through the entire system. And not everyone has a cell phone. I discussed this too. You're talking about, in some cases, if guys have to use a smartphone or an iPad, you know, that's a several $100 investment plus the data. No one is saying, hey, we're going to cover that. And all of this needs to be addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Brady. We're going to come back to the council. Mr. Belavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a couple of comments. I don't support delaying the implementation of EVTR reporting. I think that we've had a decent amount of time to get going already. But I was pretty involved in the implementation of the for hire reporting requirement that we implemented in 2019. And I can say for sure that the captains in the for hire fleet are just as old and just as non-skilled electronically as the captains in the commercial fleet. And we walked them all through it in pretty short order. It's not hard at all. The system that I use, the eTrip system that I use, has a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week helpline that can be called, and the folks there are really, really helpful and get everybody up and running quickly. I just don't think that there's a need to push this off. There's just the same problems are going to happen in 6 months because people are just going to wait to learn how to use them. They're very, very simple. If you can program your WinPlot system or you can program your plotter, you can use these EVTR systems. It's one-stop reporting. The eTrip system that I use is one-stop reporting. I do my South Atlantic, my HMS, and my GARFO required reporting through it. It's just so much more simple than using the paper reporting. And all of the captains, the old captains that were really resistant in the for-hire fleet, now that they've started using it, will never ever go back. They say they can't believe why we haven't done this sooner. And that's going to be the same case here on the commercial side. I just don't, I think that the fishermen are a lot smarter than folks give them credit for, and they'll be fine. I just wanted to say that. I'm not going to vote on this, this particular question here, but I just wanted to put those comments in from my experience working with captains to try to move this stuff forward. It's really not that bad. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go Attorney Etri, Ms. Ware, and Mr. Olszewski. Attorney Etri.
Thank you. I'm just going to, whether this motion passes or fails, I just, you know, want to be clear and make out the point that I'm going on record that I think that it's slightly disingenuous for us to continue to refer to how implementation went in 2019 without acknowledging that we're still in the midst of a pandemic. The agency did have a year implementation and then a pandemic hit. And so one has to ask, if things are going on schedule, where is the webinar training classes? Where are another workshops going to be held? How do we know that how this is going to be implemented? What's the implementation schedule? That's not available to us. If you look on the Mid-Atlantic website, it talks about these things that will be coming soon. These are the same things that were coming soon when the agency announced that they were giving a one-year implementation, and we haven't seen anything yet. And it's a pandemic. We've all had to adjust. I get that. But it's had its impact, and I think it's impacted this implementation timeline. And I think that for folks, like the folks I work with, are smart. Yeah, they can install a lot of things, but these eTrips isn't the only option that folks are considering. A lot of folks that I know of are defaulting to the Phish Online because they log into Phish Online for a variety of other reasons. As Vincent clearly explained, the transition recently of how you log into Phish Online has been completely disruptive. Now, I can say that I've received emails notifying folks about it, but I also know a bunch of owners that did not. Then you have captains that have different requirements. So it's not that I'm trying to delay EVTR for the sake of delaying EVTR. I'm trying to be mindful that in order to do such a large-scale transition, you need to have a robust implementation plan that none of us have seen. You need to take into consideration the dynamics of the folks that you're trying to transition. You have language barriers. You have the need that some folks don't have great grasp of technology. Some folks do. You have to have the staff available on nights and weekends to answer the calls. And if that means that industry needs to know you'll never get that from Phish Online and you have to consider using eTrips for that, then that's a pro-con that they have to be able to evaluate. But to date, at least within the New England region in the last few months, I haven't seen kind of a comparison of the programs or webinar like that. So this isn't about more robust data. EVTR is just giving the data elements we already have, and we'll still continue to get those. I'm just trying to be realistic about what this means for implementation. And, you know, there is always inherently, even when I say I'm not going to take on this responsibility, inherently, November 10th will come and go. A ton of folks will be challenged because they try to get a hold of the various people they need to get a hold of, and they can't. And so within the sector world, at least, yet again, managers are going to have to take on the responsibility that's not really theirs, responsibilities that we could have a whole conversation about compensation on, but it's just how it's going to play out. So I'm just trying to be mindful of the realities of what the industry is facing and ways that you could do this constructively and effectively and ways that you can try to pretend like you're going to have this done smoothly in 5 months. And I don't see that happening. So I'll still vote for this with the 6 months.
All right, thank you very much. Now, I think my plan worked too good that we're now at 12:30 when we're going to break for lunch. So I think we're all pretty sure where we're going to be on this. So I'm going to just take the last three hands that are up here to speak. But I think people have made up their minds here. So it'll be Ms. Ware, Dr. Sissonwine, then Mr. Reed. Ms. Ware.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I don't know where I'm at on this. So I was going to make a motion to postpone, but if that is out of bounds with what you've just said, please let me know.
You can make a motion to postpone.
I was going to do it to time certain to tomorrow. And my hope here is, I feel like I don't have info on what is planned in the rollout, and I don't know if a delay is warranted, how long is needed. So I'm hoping that in the next 24 hours, Garfo staff could let us know what is planned and that a timeline, and then tomorrow we could come back and vote on this.
So I think I'm going to agree with you. I think, I tried to move this ahead because we had some dead space here, but if several people have made comments that they weren't ready for it today, and that's fine. So this is an important matter. I don't want to rush it with people that aren't fully comfortable with the information in front of them on that. I must say, though, I think, not to speak to Mr. Pentney, but I think, his statement today is probably what their position is. I don't know that there's additional information they're going to share with you, but I'll entertain the motion to postpone to the scheduled other business tomorrow, which will be at the end of the scheduled business.
Thank you. And we'll see if this passes, but if there is no new information tomorrow, that makes my vote pretty clear.
I think it probably might be a motion to table, I think would be the motion, and that is not debatable. And I think we need a roll call on that. So, Mr. Neese, if you can please call the roll.
John, just for the record, I'll second this to move it forward. This is
okay, seconded by Ms. Etrie. Yep.
So, Mr. Chair, I think the language then is just to table the motion, correct? And not yes. To table it. It's not to a time certain.
Just table it, yeah. But well, based on our discussion, we'll bring it up at the other business tomorrow.
So, okay. I think if we're going to postpone it to a time certain, it would be a postpone to time certain rather than a table, but not sure that really matters.
Why don't we table it, if that's okay, Ms. Ware, and then we can take it off the table at the scheduled other business tomorrow.
Yep, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, on the roll call vote, answer yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Gates?
I think Pete's here today to vote.
Okay, Mr. Aristad?
I am unmuted and I vote yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Belzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am going to recuse from this vote. There's a potential for me to be involved in some training for this implementation, so I just don't want to be in conflict. I'm going to recuse for that reason. Thank you.
Ms. Etrie?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
Yep.
Mr. Oshesky?
Yes.
Mr. Papalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Penny?
Abstain.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
No.
Dr. Sisseline?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Motion carries 14 yeses, 1 no, and 1 recusal.
Okay, that motion is tabled, and we'll bring that up during the other business at the end of our agenda tomorrow. So why don't we stand in recess till 1:30 when we will start back up with our scheduled agenda and the Groundfish Committee report. In recess till 1:30.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Dr. McKenzie.
I'm just looking at the tally code. I believe Mr. Reed voted no on the last motion, and I didn't see that reflected in the count. I could be mistaken, but just as it was scrolling past.
Okay.
Mr. Reed did vote no. I had it as 14-1-1. One no, one abstention, and one recusal, I guess. 14-1-1.
I saw 14-0-1-1, but again, I may be mistaken. Thank you. That's all.
Okay, good. Okay. Very good. We'll see you at 1:30.